In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. We're going to continue our studies of the Holy Scriptures, and we're studying and expanding on Acts chapter 13, and we're going to pick it up from verses 42 to 47. Just a brief recap again. St. Paul and Barabbas are in Antioch, and they're preaching. They're in the synagogue. St. Paul preaches that faith in Jesus Christ brings justification, which could not come from the law of Moses. And why? We learned that because the flesh was weak, prone to sin. And if we say today, how is it that today we can strengthen the flesh? Is to live by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he also warns them not to reject the Christ. He's talking to the Jews. He's in their synagogue. He's at the temple in their synagogue and he's preaching to them. And he marvels them. Not to reject the Christ by whom alone is justification and salvation from the law. And he quotes Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Behold, scorners, those who make fun, and marvel and be destroyed. For I will do a work in your days which you will not believe, even if a man reports it to you. And that is about Jesus Christ. This is the work, and this is the word. Praise be to his name. So let's continue verses 42 to 43. And we're going to learn how Paul is so wise when he preaches. And let's learn a little bit, because sometimes we think we need to go all out. We need to, Bible bash. We need to ram it down people's throats and thoughts and minds. No, we don't. Let's learn from St. Paul. And he quotes Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Behold, scorners or mockers, those who make fun, and marvel and be destroyed, for I will do a work in your days which you will not believe, even if a man reports it to you. And there's a prophecy. And today, St. Paul is saying, be careful that you don't fall in this or under this category, because the Lord will destroy you. And those who do not receive the Son of God as the Lord, the Christ, the Savior, will be destroyed one day. And how? By being separated from the presence of God. So let's pick it up from verse 42. And as Paul and Barnabas were leaving them, the people besought them to speak these things to them the next Sabbath, meaning come back next week, please. Now when the congregation was dismissed, a great many Jews and also proselytes who feared God, now these weren't Jews, but they feared God, followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day, the whole city gathered to hear the word of God. But when the Jews, here we go again, ruffled feathers, but when the Jews saw the great crowd, they were filled with envy, and they bitterly opposed the words of Paul, and they blasphemed. They would have been cussing at them probably. Then Paul and Barnabas said to them boldly, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, but because you reject it, you have decided against yourselves and you are unworthy of everlasting life. So behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so has our Lord commanded us, as it is written, I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Praise be to Jesus Christ. So let's go back and see how Paul is planting. See, he is so wise. when you read the previous verses, he planted the seed. He won their admiration, and he putting them a longing for more. We want more. And he didn't go out all out preaching. He didn't give them his dreams and his visions and what I have done and what you need to do and how the Lord is going to open your heart. And no. He just preached Christ very simply. He said, listen, this Christ is of the Old Testament. He is the fulfiller of the prophets. And this Christ you must accept because only salvation is through him. He didn't resolve the issues at hand and conclude, that it is this is it. You need to now accept, otherwise you're going to hell, and if not, you are the sons of damnation and you have no hope. No, he just very simply preached Jesus Christ. Why? To get them used to him and not to make them soft by throwing everything at their soul at once. No. See, this is a lesson to be learned, beloved. We need to introduce, present, preach, tell about Jesus Christ in such a humble way. Sometimes we don't even need to use words, as Saint Augustine claims. Sometimes we just need to live the Holy Scriptures. We need to reflect Christ in our lives. Let me give you an example. If a person has a foul mouth, and oh, there's so many people out there, and that may be one of you. And I pray that, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. I love you. And I only say this not to rebuke you, not for you to switch off and delete a double-edged sword podcast from your phone. No. If you enjoy, if you bask in cussing, throwing the F-bombs, the C-bombs, the every bomb out there, because it's cool, because it's manly, because the world, it's the pattern of the world, right? And we know that, well, that could be the pattern of the world, but that pattern will not be replicated in the kingdom of heaven, because St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, those who cuss, who have a foul mouth, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So before you applaud and you laugh and you encourage one who is constantly using derogative words, swearing, cussing, don't do that. You're paving the way to eternal damnation for that person. Now, if that person, through this, maybe this message, God works in mysterious ways, and all glory be to God alone, maybe through this message, right now you're being convicted by the Spirit, by the words of Jesus Christ, and you want to begin a path of repentance. And the next time you are with that crowd that are constantly using dirty words, let's talk lay terms. We don't need to talk, theological and ecclesiastical and liturgical words. And you're talking dirty words. You're cussing constantly. Every second word is an F word, right? And then you change. And the next time you're with that group, and for an hour or so, they don't hear anything from your mouth. And they say, what's wrong with you? There you go. You don't need to go back and preach and condemn everyone. You just can reply and say, it was wrong. I was convicted by the Holy Spirit, and I was drawn near, and I was drawn to repentance, and I'm trying to cut out this evil demon that is within me. Simple as that. You got people thinking. And then there may be another person in that crowd, in that company, that has the same dilemma as you have, is in the same sin and, has been caught up in the same sin. That person may come walk, run after you and say, listen, how did you do it? Do you see? Do you see what I'm getting at? This is what St. Paul did. Just preached Jesus softly to them. And he didn't have to go into theology. No, there will come time where Paul will go into some deep theology, where only the fathers of the church, guided, inspired by the Holy Spirit, who've commented. Not what I believe and what I think, how I feel. No. How the church has received and interpreted the theology of St. Paul. Notice in verse 38, he said, through this man, that is Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. But he didn't say how. He didn't say how. So when someone says to you, what's wrong with you, you don't need to say, well, I was listening to Double-Edged Sword, for example, for the glory of God. And you know that foolish servant of God, Kasha Jenard, was preaching about, it touched my heart and he convicted me. You don't say he convicted me. No, the Spirit convicted me and I'm now. You don't need to say that. You know what? I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. I'm drawn to repentance and I need to repent. Otherwise, there is damnation or punishment. Simple. Walk away. And then people will say, well, how? What did you do? People will run to you and say, probably, what did you do? You say, well, you know what? I started reading the scriptures. I started fasting. I started praying. I started going to church more regularly so that I don't miss out on all the gifts and all the blessings. We spoke about that from the church. And thank God, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying my best every now and then. I still throw an F-bomb here and there, right? But, you know, I'm trying. I'm on a repentance path. And the Lord is pleased and happy with me. I can feel my confidence now. That conviction is now confidence. Throw eagerness in these people. You see, Paul did the same. He created an eagerness where they started to follow him. They left the synagogue. People ran after him, went to him. Now, this man was truly a fisherman. Let's have a look at the characteristics of a fisherman. So some of you who are listening may love fishing. Now, when you go out to the ocean or to the sea or to the beach or to the river or to the lake, you don't just go and cast. You have to see what the weather's like, where the tide is. Is it high tide, low tide? Is it too choppy? The winds are too choppy. The sea's too choppy. You usually go, when there's other fishermen there, you'll go and ask them, you know, what are you using and what's biting today? And they'll say to you, you know, this type of fish, like a black, I'm going to mention some fish that are in Australia, I think, flathead. Stephen, do you have flathead fish? Have you heard of the flathead? You have. Oh, excellent. So let me tell you a little. Sorry. Is it a shark? It looks like a shark, but it's not. So flatheads lay right on the bottom of the seabed. So you need to have your bait and your sinker on the seabed. So and when it bites, it just opens and closes. It doesn't bite. It's not very aggressive. So you need to be careful and you know when the fish is on and you know, obviously tag it and start reeling it in. Blackfish, not sure if you have blackfish here. Blackfish in Sydney, blackfish only bite on algae, what's on those rocks at the sea, right? So what I'm saying is a fisherman must be clever. That's why Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men, not keepers of aquariums. Robert Glula. Not keepers of aquariums, fishers of men. Because a fisherman is quite learned and very handy and skilled at his or her job. Notice he didn't baptize them. He didn't say, oh, you've come out, you're eager. So you believe in Jesus. Right now, I want you to now repeat after me. Come into my heart. I accept you. You are my Lord and my Savior. No, he didn't do that. And then let's go. I'm going to baptize you. Why? Because it wasn't the proper time. There was need to persuade them even more so that they may remain steadfast. To remain steadfast. So if we have a Christian sister who wants to marry a non-Christian friend and approaches the church, and I'll speak on behalf of the Assyrian Church of the East, that any gifts within the church are only provided and given to the Christian brothers and sisters, those who have been baptized. So just because the partner, one of the partners, be it the male or the female, wants to be baptized because they want to be married, no, we say, no. You're not going to receive baptism just because you want to be married, because baptism is a gift of the Holy Spirit, a sacrament that is precious and was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he has entrusted it to the church as a depository, and that we must be careful as St. Paul commands to Timothy, do not be haste in laying your hand, because it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we must first be without, beyond the shadow of doubt, that this person wants to receive the gift of holy baptism. I'm going to talk about why that person wants to be buried with Christ and to be born anew or born from above. And that even if that marriage does not work out, that person still wants to be baptized because he wants to have that relationship with Jesus Christ and to stand steadfast, meaning accept the Lord Jesus Christ and denounce all the other false and idol faiths and religions. You see, baptism is not a mere immersion in water, beloved. It's not a mere symbol, as some preach and claim. It's only a symbol. According to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, Paul likens it to the flood. Paul writes that baptism is an antitype, a simile of the flood, which saves you. Let's have a talk about that. You see, in the flood, during Noah's time and the ark, the world gets cleansed. The evil is purged out of the world, and only Noah and his family, eight members, are saved through that. Because if they were outside of the ark, mark these words, if they were outside of the ark, they would have drowned. But baptism, which is an antitype, is not just a mere bath and washing yourself. I had a friend from the brothers from the Salvation Army. This is going back a long time ago, and we were debating baptism. And he said, well, you know, for us, baptism is a symbol. Every day I take a shower, that's baptizing. Well, no. See, baptism cuts us off from the world. Hence, we are not of the world. It cleanses our conscience. Through a shower, your conscience, your heart, your motive is not cleansed. When you have a shower in the morning, you're not clothed with Jesus Christ. You actually clothe yourself with normal clothes. When you have a shower in the morning, you're not dying with Christ. You're not being crucified with him in the shower, no. But through baptism, it's the cleansing of conscience. This is the cleansing that is received in baptism, along with many other powers. Again, I mentioned some of them. Those that you cannot receive in a normal shower, you can receive in baptism as a gracious gift, provisions of the Holy Spirit. One of the church fathers, St. Andrew of Caesarea, writes, the water of the flood is a type of baptism because it both punished evil people and saved good. Just as baptism expels evil spirits and saves those who turn to Christ, this shows the great power of baptism and how much we need it. St. Cyprian of Carthage writes, Peter showed and vindicated the unity of the church by commanding and warning that we can be saved through and only through the baptism of the one church. How, you may say? Keep listening intently through the one church. He goes on to say, just as in that baptism of the world, the flood by which the ancient iniquity was purged, the one who was not in the ark could not be saved through water, so now anyone who has not been baptized in the church cannot be saved. You can't just take people to a river and baptize them in the name of the Trinity. I don't want to go into the sacrament of the priesthood. Let's just continue. They cannot be baptized in, whoever is not baptized in the church cannot be saved. He goes on, for the church has been founded, listen to this. Oh, bless your souls, the fathers of the church. For the church has not been founded in the unity of the Lord. Sorry. For the church has been founded in the unity of the Lord as the sacrament of the one ark. So the ark is an antitype of the church. Without the ark, people die. Without the ark, those who were baptized would have been dead. Without the church and no baptism within the church, you will die. You're not saved. Again, going on to verses 44 to 46, then we see the Jews envy. They always envy. They're always in envy. You know, each time Christ was being glorified and adhered to and followed, the Jews got angry. It was envy that caused them to do what they did to Jesus Christ. It was envy. The envy, however, extends the preaching of the word. Like in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, when the church was scattered from Jerusalem to Samaria, the Gentiles began to hear the word and began to accept Jesus Christ and were believers and were saved. You know, we spoke about one man's loss is another man's gain. Joseph says this to his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You counseled evil against me, and God counseled good. Beloved, whenever evil comes upon us, not as a result of our own fault, sin, and foolishness, wait for God's goodness. Wait for God to change that evil to good. Notice the gentleness of St. Paul again. He says, listen. It is necessary that you should be preached. He showed that it was necessary to preach to them as well. You need to learn this. You need to hear this. Just because you're a Jew, just because the Savior was from within you, but you did not accept him, you need to save our Lord, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, everyone, beloved. You need to hear this. And by saying first, you need to hear it first, because you are the branch that has been cut off, but God can one more time prune, one more time, as he pruned the Gentiles, you can also be pruned if you stop from your unbelief. He showed this to them. And that as well as it is your duty to preach, we preach to you first, you need to know first, so you can go and preach this truth. And then if you're not going to receive it, if you want to go, if you're going to deny it, great. We're going to go preach to the Gentiles. And again, this proves that God's desire is all to be saved, even the Jews and the Muslim brothers and sisters and the Buddhist brothers and sisters all those non-Christian, the Jewish friends, the Muslim friends, the Buddhist friends, the Hindu friends need to be saved only through Jesus Christ, to turn to Jesus Christ. Through this, he is declaring that God, in the eye of God, nothing is unworthy of salvation or to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Nor that God excludes any humankind from damnation. No, if you don't receive, you will die. Simple as that. God's will is that all people shall have life and shall be converted to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2:4. And he's talking to the Jews, Mr. Netanyahu. Now, if there's any alarms, you know, they say when you mention some names, you know, Mossad gets all these alarms. Well, I want these alarms to go off. Alarms start ringing. Mr. Ben, what is it, Binny? What does he call him? BB? Mr. Netanyahu? You know, you come out Christmas time and you invite all your Christian friends to come and see the birthplace of Jesus. Please mention Jesus Christ. Why are you just calling our Lord, our Savior, the Christ, Jesus? You invite me to come and see his birthplace. Why don't you also invite me to come and see his empty tomb? Why don't you refer to him as Jesus, the Christ? Because then everything has to be changed. Then it's going to be a turmoil. But believe me, BB, it won't be a turmoil. You will be saved. Because remember, BB, you are going to face the Lord Jesus Christ. You are going to face the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ whom your forefathers crucified. And it had to be done. We now today understand. We understand. And we know that the Lord loves you and wants you to return one more time so that, BB, he can prune you one more time into the vine, so that you will have life with Jesus Christ. Every person on earth, beloved, God wants to save, but not every person will be saved. Why? Because of free will.
We bring it upon ourselves through our liberty, our freedom of speech, freedom of choice, freedom of walk, freedom of whatever. We make ourselves to be unworthy of eternal life and worthy of eternal damnation by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 47, Paul refers to himself as light for the Gentiles. If you're not going to accept it, well, we're going to go to the Gentiles. You know, our friends, the Jews, if you didn't accept it, you know where it came? To the Assyrians. Oh, there's so many alarms going off now, Stephen. To the Assyrians. And the Assyrians, while you were, while you were preparing, there's another word, to capture and to crucify King Abgar in Edessa, Orhai, the Assyrian, accepted him as Lord and as God. So that's what happened. See, it's from the scriptures. This is not a political statement. This is not hatred. I love BB. I love everyone. I have to love. I love because my Lord is love. I love. But this is a fact, right? Paul calls himself the light of Gentiles. And yes, he is my light because I was a Gentile, but I'm a Christian now. In Christendom, I'm not a Gentile. I'm actually Israel. In Christendom, I am Israel. I am the church. You know who the Gentiles are? The Jews are the Gentiles in Christendom. And we must go and preach to the Gentiles. Not just be politically correct. Let's stop this politically correctness, O leaders of the church. I cannot stand in a prayer where the prayer is not in the name of Jesus Christ. No, it has to be in the name of Jesus Christ. Not because I'm a Christian, but because he is the Christ. And only God is pleased with the Christ. Praise and glory be to his name. Type amen. The light of the Gentiles. What was said with specific reference to Jesus Christ, the Lord, in Luke chapter 2, verse 32, by Simon the righteous, he said to him, he referred to Jesus Christ, the light for the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. He is now, Paul is taking it for himself, referring it to himself. Why? Because he is calling to mind Matthew 10:40, whosoever receives you receives me. So if you receive me as a light, you're receiving Jesus Christ. John 20:21, Jesus said, just as my Father has sent me, I also am sending you. Of course, he is the light. The apostles are the light of the world. Christ said, you are the light of the world. You cannot be hidden. It just cannot be. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. There's magicians trying to, make the Eiffel Tower disappear and the Harbour Bridge. This is all evil. This is all magic. But this is not magic. Jesus is not talking about magic. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. So too, St. Paul and all the apostles and we, the Christians, let's not hide ourselves. Let's say it as it is. You know why? Not to only rebuke and to show off and to be proud. I mean, we have pride in Jesus Christ. But so that they also know the seriousness, the urgency of receiving the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the only forgiver. Praise and glory be to his name, now and at all times and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.